Hello, and welcome to the Word, bringing you the good news of Jesus Christ every day, from the order of preachers around the world. Today, from England, we hear from Father Ewan Marley, who is prior at Blackfriars, Cambridge. Father Ewan's preaching is entitled, Nothing Will Be Destroyed.
A reading for the Gospel according to St. Mark.
Hello and welcome to the Word.
Jesus and the disciples went to his father's Capernaum.
Jesus Christ.
As soon as the Sabbath came, he went to the synagogue and began to teach. And his teaching made a deep impression on them because, unlike the scribes, he taught them with authority. In the synagogue just then, there was a man possessed by an unclean spirit. And he shouted, What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. But Jesus said sharply, Be quiet, come out of him. And the unclean spirit threw the man into convulsions, with a loud cry went out of him. The people were so astonished that they started asking each other what it all meant. Here is a teaching that is new, they said, and with authority behind it. He gives orders even to unclean spirits, and they obey him. And his reputation rapidly spread everywhere, through all the surrounding Galilean countryside. The Gospel of the Lord. One thing about the unclean spirits, as Mark calls them, the spirits which are unclean because they do not belong to this world, because they are disrupting human freedom. These spirits, it has to be said, do ask some good questions. And they also tell some good truths. I know who you are, the Holy One of God. That's true. However, it's a truth spoken by an unclean spirit, not by a human being in freedom, which is the truth that Christ seeks. As I say, they also ask some good questions. Have you come to destroy us? The answer to that is no. Christ has not come to destroy anything or anyone. God's creation is God's creation. It's his purpose. There is an important verse from the Old Testament, what Protestants call the Apocrypha, but is accepted by most Christians throughout the world as the Old Testament. That's the Book of Wisdom, chapter 11, verse 24. For you love all things that exist, and detest none of the things that you have made. For you would not have made anything if you had hated it. You love all things that exist. That sounds like a nice, easy truth, but it's actually a very powerful and demanding truth. And the reason it's demanding is that although God loves all that he has made, some of the rational beings that he has made do not love themselves. They are at war with themselves. The evil spirits are much more visible, evident in the New Testament than the Old. In fact, it's not very clear what the evil spirits are in the Old Testament. But here, at this moment, Christ appears in their presence. And they say, Have you come to destroy us? And Christ certainly commands the evil spirit, he muzzles him, be muzzled, literally, rather than be quiet, and come out of him, he frees the human being. He makes things clean again. He allows human beings to be themselves. But he doesn't destroy the devils, he doesn't destroy anything that he has made. That would be against God's purpose. Nothing is to be destroyed, everything will live. It's a fact that science itself took this literally. The great chemist Lavoisier worked on the assumption that since God had made everything, nothing would be destroyed, and therefore no chemical reaction ever led to something ceasing to exist, merely being transformed. That's why Lavoisier is called the father of chemistry. That's a basic principle. of chemistry. Nothing vanishes, it merely changes. That's much more true of rational beings. And the great mystery of hell is that everybody, whether human or spiritual, will choose an eternal hell, will live forever because God loves them. He loves all that he's made, even the devils. And yet they do not love themselves and do not love the fact that they are made. They reject the greatest truth about themselves. What they do not reject, though, is their own existence. Spiritual beings know that they are, by their own nature, immortal. Not because they can live forever without God, but because God, having made them, has made them to be, and to be forever. They do not reject that. They choose life itself, but they choose a life against the truth. We human beings on earth have the illusion sometimes that we can destroy ourselves, that we can cease to exist. Well, even there, I wonder if suicide really is a desire to destroy yourself, if it's not really an illusion that we can place ourselves in a sort of eternal sleep where nothing much happens, but somehow we are still alive. I would wonder if even human beings can foster the delusion that they can cease to be. Suicide is a great terror in our life, a great mystery. But deep down, it's not really a desire not to exist. That's too embedded in us. It's just a desire to escape. Which gives us a chance to help those who hate themselves, who want to run from this world. The great cure for suicide is simply friendship. It's a great cure for a great deal of things, a great many of the evils of the world. Reaching out to friendship. But it means too that the ministry of Christ begins with this truth. As I say, he doesn't say to the unclean spirit, I will not destroy you, I will allow you to keep the life you have. He doesn't say that because he wants human beings to understand that we are made for eternity. That we must love God and love ourselves and love our neighbour. We must live in love or live without love forever. That's the choice. And this choice itself is the choice which is made throughout the life of Christ and throughout the life of the world. We must never think that any other human being on this earth has made that choice completely. We must always hope, never condemn. We do not know what each human being is choosing. But we do make that choice for ourselves, and we also realise that the choice is not simply made by our own power, made by grace. It's helped by prayer. That's why the great prayer which God has given the church, the Hail Mary, says, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. The only two moments that matter in life, this moment, the moment we live in, and the moment of our death, that we pray. And so, the people are right to be astonished, they're right to be overwhelmed, because I think at this moment, they already know that Jesus of Nazareth is indeed, as the unclean spirit says, the Holy One of God. This moment, they know that his authority is not simply the authority of someone who is very opinionated, very confident in their own judgments. They know this is the authority of God. And yet, the authority of God is in conflict with our own sense of authority, our own sense of autonomy. We will live forever. We will go on. Will we be with the God who made us, with the Christ who redeems us every moment of our life, here and in eternity? Will we be of the Holy Spirit, who is our joy? It makes us a gift to each other. Well, that is a choice. That is a choice we could make. But remember, God is the God of life. Life is forever.